Oh, 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 cheeky monkeys.
Get on with it.
Toppy, toppy.
It's Bergkamp.
Hashtag fuck Ennis.
That's magnificent.
Hello, John.
Up and down.
Well done. Bye bye.
Come on.
Hello and welcome to ABW Live. It's the Frankfurt game. How the devil are we all? It's a victory. Woohoo! A decent one at that, to be fair. Let's go straight to the chat box. First in the chat box is Reese1237. Then there was S Cam. Then there was Corey Austin. Grant Milbourne's smashing in there. Dean Robinson, 1983. Archie. Danny the GFP is there. K-Man, 1867. Rudy Rastloss. Oh, look at them all. Stefan Selby, the wonderful Stefan Selby. Then you've got Nude Gunnar. Gunnar Shy, 77 is there. Oh, Captain Sirkin's there. Michael Hahnemann smashing in with a £5 donation already. And he says, the kids are all right. Yes, they are. But we'll get into that in a bit. Sharad Palar's there. Kelly Ma's there. The wonderful Kelly Ma. Ray Anderson. Anne Toft. Kashif Ahmed's there. Oh, look at you lovely gooners. How the devil are we all? I hope we're all okay. It's a two-man show tonight. It's a two-man show tonight. Hold up. Sorry, I've missed somebody. Pete Coulson's in there. The wonderful Peter Coulson's there. How are you, pal? Yeah. John Welsh has jumped ship. He's gone and joined the pirate on the naughty ship. The good ship, we're sinking. That's all I can say, the bad, bad man. But the man who is with me is my brother from another mother. It's the wonderful, it's Carl. How are you, buddy?
To be honest, this is every girl's dream, a double team by me and you, Jason. What more could any woman want? John Welsh, no, eat your heart out.
No comment, okay? Absolutely no comment. Oh, Jesus wept. There are women all over the world looking for therapy at the moment. Right, pal, let's get straight into it. Lineups. No Ozil, no Holding, no Socrates. Alba starting and Mustafi. What were your thoughts?
The Ozil thing bamboozled me until I thought about it and I heard something on commentary. So the excuse was Ozil was being rested after playing only 69 minutes of the season. So only football he's played in the whole season, 69 minutes. Why would you need to be rested? And then I remembered that he's not the most popular person in Germany, is he? So going to Germany, as we know, Ozil's fragile. I think that's the word I'd use. So I don't think he would have done well travelling to Germany and obviously having, like, every time he touched the ball, probably being booed. So I can understand he was being protected. And to be honest, even though Frankfurt, they're not a shit team, I think we could have done well. We should have done better than leaving Ozil at home. Like, I don't think we technically really needed him. So I'm not really, really bothered about that. Leaving... who else did we leave at home? We left not Kolasinac. Who's our defender? I've slipped my mind now. Who's our central?
Socrates.
That's the point.
Wait, I don't mean Socrates.
Socrates, leaving him at home, I can probably understand a little bit fragile after Sunday. So yeah, I can understand protecting Socrates, to be honest, and leaving him at home just to obviously recharge the batteries, get his head right, get his mind right, and take him out of the firing line a little bit. And plus, for the first time, and I can't believe I'm actually saying this, Arsenal kind of have an abundance of central defenders, which is something that we never say ever. I can't remember ever saying that. So, you know, we're all right for central defence at the moment. Aubameyang, that is the one that really confused me. He is our only fit striker. So, whereas... I can kind of forgive Emre for starting him because Martellini may not be up to it at the present time. And Frankfurt, like I said to you, Frankfurt away is our hardest game in the Europa League on paper, 100%. So, therefore, I can understand starting him, but playing for the whole 90 minutes, which we'll talk about later, I don't really understand that whatsoever. The back line, Mustafi coming in, it's a Europa League game. You can kind of understand why. Chambers coming back in. I personally would have played Chambers at right back. I would have played him at centre back and played Mustafi at right back. And after that, the kids we'll talk about. Saka, I guess, was probably the biggest surprise. I didn't expect him to start, to be honest. But the boy did well, and we'll talk about him later. And then Emile Smith Rowe coming in. Well, we know what Emile Smith Rowe can do from last season. So when I heard he was fit, it wasn't a surprise him coming in either.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised at where he was playing youngsters. Do you know what I mean? But to be fair, he gave him a go. And they didn't disappoint. We'll talk about that as we go along, because I think that, you know, there are some interesting points here. Let's kick off then, mate. We saw an initial pressure from Frankfurt. A Kamada shot saved. There was confusion in playing the ball out by Xhaka. Torreira then misses a sitter the other end. Ball came across him really quickly. Can you forgive him, or, you know, was that something he should have finished?
Nah, he's not an attacking player. Had it been Aubameyang, and I guess we'll talk about his misses later on in the show, but had it been Aubameyang or someone who is an attacking player, I would have been going mad. But as well as you can say he's a midfielder and he should have put that away, his job is that ball carrier. His job is that one to clean up the mess. So I can kind of understand him not finish it off. Had we had not won this game, then I probably would be thinking something totally different. I would have been acting going mad. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, hindsight is a wonderful thing. It truly is. But today, you know, it didn't seem to matter.
No, you know, it was good that he was in, that we created the chance, I suppose. Bit disappointing, but, you know, we can't beat him over the head with a stick on that, can we? Then you see Andre Silva shoot across goal. He was quite close, but they played the ball in. There was no pressure from the midfield on the attack whatsoever. Were you thinking at this point, oh my God, it's going to be sort of Watford 2.0?
I mean, you and I spoke about this on the pod, Jason. The midfield does not protect our defence at all. And that's the reason why we got so many shots against us. I mean, today we had 24 shots against us. So, you could say it's an improvement from 31 against Watford, but, you know, still having 24 shots against you, and that is just ridiculous. No, we should not be having a team, regardless who it is. I couldn't care less if it's Frankfurt, Man City, Liverpool, Juventus. We should not be having 20. No team should have 24 shots against Arsenal. No way. And our midfield just seems to go missing at times. And even though we had Lucas Torreira in, he is the person who should protect our backline. He's the one that's probably most suited to do it, but he can't do it by himself. He needs to help. And unfortunately, I'm not going to beat Xhaka with a stick today, because I think he was all right today, if I'm really honest. But he needs that protection. He needs that help. He can't do it by himself. But the team as a whole, at times, we just always seem to give up. We almost look tired, especially towards the end of the first half. We looked tired. Like, we looked like we'd almost run out of legs. And it was a bit shocking as well, because Arsenal are known to be that high-intensity team. You know, we don't really... We usually wear down the opposition, but it seemed like we was getting worn down by Frankfurt, who, you know, given the credit, they had chances. And they may not have been clear-cut chances, but the chances they had, you could say one or two of them, they really should have finished.
Yeah, look, let's be honest. They were profligate in front of goal, okay? And, you know, we'll talk about this as we go along, but, you know, there is still the same problems there. It's thankfully, I think they were more interested in sort of falling over than, concentrating on their game. It was a bit of a... I found it a really strange game. I've got to be honest with you. It was just, I don't know how to describe it. You know, they were very bitty. They were very quick to mourn. instead of sort of gritting it out and, you know, concentrating on what they were doing, a lot of moaning to the referee. But this is my next comment, and it was quite bizarre, because at this point in time, I was looking at Willock, I was looking at Smith Rowe, I was looking at Saka, and I was very underwhelmed by them, okay? I thought it looked a bit like boys against men. I thought Willock off the ball was poor at this point. And it's still early on in the game. They're still getting used to the game. I don't want to make it feel as if I'm lambasting them, okay, because this is part of their learning curve, okay? This is part of their learning curve. You know, this is what they've got to go through to become professional, you know, to become really good professional footballers. They've got to make their mistakes, and this is the platform for them to make it on. But Saka looks like a little boy that's been pulled out of the crowd to play. He's so young. He, you know, he's small, he's 18, he looks so young. And then my next comment is Saka stuffs up a pass to Aubameyang after a turnover ball, and just thought, how is he going to react to this? Were you kind of concerned at the early part of the game?
It did worry me a little bit. I did think that they were kind of overrunning us. Our young players are very slight. Like, we don't have any players that are really beefy, if that makes sense. They all look like they need a good meal. And and it's worrying, because even, not to harp back onto it, but even in the Watford game, when Willock and came on against Watford, Watford had got some big players, and he was just getting barged off the ball left, right and centre. And it was a bit, it was worrying, because you think to yourself, this is what teams are going to do now. They're just going to literally come and bully us off. And even Nelson as well. Nelson was getting bullied off the ball as well on Sunday. But I guess Arsenal have always been known for our small, slight players. Like, we don't have any, what I like to call, or, you know, as they usually describe, I hate saying this, but how Jamie Redknapp describes black players, pace and power. We don't really have that in our squad. He does. Every black player he describes as having pace and power. But we don't really have that in our squad, to be honest. There's no midfielder we have that has that. You know, that one that can just, like, who can carry the ball. Like, I watched yesterday PSG versus Real Madrid, and Idrissa Gueye, he was bloody brilliant in it. Like, he was carrying that ball, he was doing everything. Like, he's a player that, you know, I love. On yesterday's performance, Arsenal's good, but we just don't have those, because all our midfielders, you think Dani Ceballos, he doesn't have, he's not a powerful player. You could maybe argue Xhaka, but he's just got no pace. He may have a little bit of power. Torreira doesn't have the pace and power. So we don't have that sort of player. So I think we have to use what we've got to our advantage. And that's the, you know, the slight, the trickery. Some of our midfielders have got a bit of pace, which is what we need. But the big beefy ones that will protect the ball and not get barged off the ball, we don't really have that.
Yeah, no, you know, there's a lack of physicality in that midfield for certain. And as an example of that, you saw Torreira go down after a collision with the keeper, where, you know, he tried to stay on his feet after, you know, it was a fair challenge by both of them. I wasn't sure if it was shithousery or he'd actually pulled something or landed awkwardly. But we feel a bit diminutive at times, don't we? You know, we're not going to out-muscle big teams. But then you saw Kostic fire wide. You know, we've given up another chance. And then Xhaka blocking a shot from a corner. Whilst they were having chances, they weren't hitting the target. And there didn't seem to be a massive amount of panic. Yes, we were being beaten by good play. And yes, you know, we were a little loose in covering the back four, but were you feeling confident at this point?
No, I'm never confident watching Arsenal, if I'm honest. Like, I'm not going to lie to you, but whereas, you know, they had an abundance of chances, but they weren't ever clear-cut chances. Yes, our goalkeeper had to make a few saves, and you know, we'll talk about him later definitely, because I think he done very, very well, and definitely a mention, Martinez. But we were controlling the game, which is not something I'd always say, and it was a point where, even though they were attacking, and I never thought I'd ever say this with Mustafi in defence, I didn't feel like a goal was imminent for them. Sometimes you can just tell when a goal is going to come. Just like, sorry to keep going on about back to Watford. You always knew that Watford were going to score at some point. There was never a chance when you knew, shit, Watford are not going to score. You knew they were going to score. But in this game, I just didn't think that they were. And I think they didn't let the atmosphere get to them, because let's face it, that atmosphere was brilliant. It was a great atmosphere. Their home fans really got behind their team. But looking at the game and what I can sort of recall and remember, I just didn't feel that Arsenal were ever any under immediate threat. But however, there was always that one little spark where we would do a misplaced pass or something wouldn't get cut out, and you think, damn, they're going to attack us and keep on attacking us. And that's what they did, but they just never really peppered our goal, like, on target. They had shots, but they weren't really on target.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. You know, you saw Dost firing wide. We defended a corner poorly. I think it was Torreira who gave the ball away. They capitalised on that, but he fires wide. You had numerous Martinez saves, to be honest with you. I don't think there was anything magnificent, but he was very, very solid. This is one of the points where I was really beginning to worry then. You had Aubameyang firing wide. We'd played well out, but Saka was kind of wondering about offside. Now, this is a guy who's played up front all, you know, he's only 18. This is not a case of let's hammer him, okay? Let's just make it clear on that. But, you know, he's wondering about offside. You can see across the line. This is a basic of the game. You know, I was really thinking, oh, my God, I don't think Willock was playing particularly well at this point. I thought Emile Smith-Rowe would look way off the pace. You know, he's come back from a long-term injury, so, you know, you've got to give the guy a bit of leeway. Willock started the season well, but he didn't look at it. I was really thinking, oh, my God, they look really underwhelming. But then, you know, you saw a turnaround in them. They looked out of their depth at this point, but then you saw Willock misses an Alba. Willock misses from Alba had broken, and you know he shoots over. It wasn't good, but we started to have a bit of a spark, didn't we?
Yeah, it almost seemed like we had something clicked in us where I don't know if the manager had a word, or I don't know if we just started to play a bit better. Sometimes you just need a kick up the backside, and maybe it was just like someone saying, come on guys, we need to fix up here. We need to improve. And I guess that's what we did. And I don't know what the spark was, but some sort of spark happened. And yeah, and then we got our first goal, if that's what you want to talk about now.
Yeah, but bear me a second. Lafiagi Olianka. Everyone's excited about Saka, but Jason is slagging him off. Can we stop this? We won. We kept this clean sheet. Look on the positives. Let's enjoy the youngsters and hope they develop well. Right, I don't know if you understand what this show is, but we talk about the game as it developed. At this point in the game, they weren't playing very well. We tell you as it is. You don't like it. I don't care. This is the way it happened. We don't paint over anything. We tell you the way it went, okay? It's just the way the game developed, and that's it. You know, don't give me this bullshit of everything's roses, because it's not. Bloody idiots. You had then, on break, Smith Rowe firing straight to the keeper. Should have done better, but as I say, he's just coming back from injury. But there was an incident where Aubameyang's legs were swept away in the box. Nothing given. What did you think of that?
If I'm honest, I didn't really think it was a penalty. I think if that was given against us, this is how I always base penalties. If it was given against us, would I be angry? And I probably would have been, to be honest. So I think it was one of those ones where maybe he could have stayed on his feet, but he just chose not to. But in hindsight, at the end of the day, it wasn't given, but we got on with it and we persevered.
Yeah, and then we really start to kick off. You see a fantastic drive from Willock. All of a sudden, on the ball, you saw his form from the opening two games of the season. Good cross for Saka, from Saka, well defended by Frankfurt. All of a sudden, these guys just clicked into life, didn't they?
Yeah, like I said, we got a spark, and I don't know where it is. Sometimes when you could have one shot or you could defend well and it could just click into gear for your team. And that's what happens. You know, when you're on top, you actually are on top. And it's like when you're defending a lead and a team just pummels you. That team starts to get belief because they know that a goal is going to come. And I think with us, we kind of got a spark within us when we thought, okay, there's a chance we can actually get something here, especially when a team's coming at you. And they were, Frankfurt were actually coming at us, but they weren't doing anything with the ball. They were shooting at us, but nothing was really happening. So then you kind of think, well, this is them playing at probably at their best, and they're not beating us. So why don't we step up a little a gear and let's see what we can do. And that's how I think what happened.
Yeah. Then you see Dost head wide from a corner. And I don't get this. We've got Willock marking him. I mean, you know, Dost is an experienced centre forward. The guy knows his way around Europe. And we got a 19-year-old marking him. I just found that nuts.
To be honest, does anything that Emery do you not find nuts? Like today, we will talk about him because I've got something to say about him. But yeah, for me, again, it just screams, not you don't know what you're doing, but maybe we just don't have the personnel to defend what we wanted to defend, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, you know, you've got Mustafi there, you've got David Luiz there, you know, you've got Chambers there, Xhaka. I understand he's just trying to block off a lot of time in the way he marks. It's just block off the run to stop them getting a clean head. But it doesn't always work. And, I mean, that's a big learning curve for Willock there. And, you know, we're lucky it went wide. But then we break. It was a fantastic break. Okay? You know, you had Willock and Saka involved, and Willock being brave, okay? He takes the shot on, and it's a massive deflection. We know that. But, my God, it's a fantastic goal for him, isn't it?
And a confidence booster as well. I mean, yeah, Saka breaks, passes it to Willock. Willock just cuts back in onto his right foot and shoots. And, yeah, I think it was on target anyway, but it took a massive deflection, like, huge deflection. But why not? Why would, do you know what I mean? Like, you're right, what you're saying, Jason, he was brave, like, just a cut back in onto his right foot, took a little shot, and it looped over the goalkeeper. And I was actually really happy for him because I thought to myself, yes, like I said, confidence, not just the game, I thought just for him. Because once you get your first goal, it's going to bring you so much belief. Just like with Pepe, I think when Pepe gets his first goal, I think that he's not going to stop scoring. That's just my personal opinion. But I was very, very happy for Willock, and you could tell that the team was happy as well. And obviously getting a goal sort of like, was it the 38th minute, 37th minute, something on the line?
Yeah.
It was just, you know, a little while before halftime, and that would take the wind out of their sails, because any time you score maybe 5-10 minutes before halftime, you have to change your whole team talk, and that's what I like, because it disrupts the opposition.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, I loved his bravery on the ball there. I thought, you know, it's easy to, what's the word? It's easy to sort of have a pop at these guys. They're on that learning curve, you know. They're learning their trade in these games. They're not meant to be perfect, and they are going to make their mistakes. And better they make mistakes in Europa League rather than in the Premier League. But the way he just thought, you know what, I'm giving it a go. It gets the deflection. You make your own luck. It's in the back of the net. It's 1-0. And this kid must feel like he's the million-dollar man, you know? You could see his face. It was a real joy to watch. You know, we've seen him develop over the last three or four seasons, from a youngster and getting his debut under Arsene, then last season kind of getting a couple more appearances. But this season, hitting the ground running, he's going to have bad days, but days like this for him are ones to remember. You know, I just thought absolutely fantastic for him. I couldn't be happier for the boy because, you know, on the ball, he looks absolutely sensational. You know, off the ball, he's got a lot to learn, and he's, you know, he's going to have to work at that at his game there. He really is.
Yeah, but that will come with time, isn't it? Like, I don't want to keep making excuses that they're young, but they are. And, you know, you and I can sit here and say, oh, he should do this, should do this. But, you know, he needs an in-game management. He can't be running around the pitch every for 90 minutes because he will get tired. He needs to know when to run, when not to run, when to go forward, when not to join the attack, when to chase back, when to just sit. You know, these things would all come. And whether it's under Unai Emery's tutelage, I possibly think not, but or under another manager's tutelage, he will learn that. Like, he's got, the thing about him, he's got time on his side. He's a young guy. He's in the first team now. He's going to be in the first team for this season. So at least now he's going to have injuries permitting, and touch wood, he doesn't have any injuries this season. He's going to be a concrete fixture within this season because we're going to have a lot of games to play. And I hope we do have a hell of a lot of games to play. And I hope that he'll get his turn in the cup games. Like, he probably will get a game against Forest as well, you know, coming up. So, yeah, I truly do hope that he learns in-game management. I think a whole team really need to learn in-game management. That's some of our senior players as well, to be honest.
Well, this is the thing, okay? You know, I mean, he's now building his building his performances, you know? He's learning every game. He's building that. He's banking all this experience, and it's going to stand him in good stead. I mean, you look at Smith Rowe, who had a disappointing night, but again, it's just part of the learning curve for him. He's coming back from injury. You know, again, it's one he'll put behind him. He'll learn the lessons from. These guys, I saw somebody, I made the mistake of looking on Twitter, and there was a particular account, Saka to be young player of the season this year. You heard it here first. Oh, for fuck's sake, you know. Let's not put any pressure on the kid.
But we do it all the time, don't we? We do it with all our young players. Remember, Bill Smith Rowe is going to be the next
Mesut Ozil, isn't it?
Yeah. So,
but this is the thing. These guys, I mean, you can add Guendouzi to this group. You can add Saliba to this group. Holding Chambers even maybe to this group. But they're two or three season projects. You know, they're not meant to be perfect now. They're meant to be developing their game. You know, and Saka will have good nights, bad nights. Willock will have the same. But, you know, this is all experience for them and able for their, giving them the ability to grow their careers. So, you know, it's one of those things. Right? Okay, Loki 73 comes in, a good point. You know, you cannot keep mentioning how young they are. Fabregas, Parla, Adams, Cole, Bellerin, and Anelka, etc. were good enough. Anelka had one really great season, as Fabregas was a freak, to be fair. Parla, Adams, Cole all made their mistakes. This is where they learned their trade. Do you know what I mean? And to be honest with you, you're talking about different eras now. Fabregas stepped into a team that had just gone and beaten the whole season. Okay, Adams, he made more than his fair share of mistakes. You know, it's one of these things which is going to be, you know, we're not the team we were when they joined the club. You know, we were not. So, you know, it's not fair to compare them with those guys. Last action in the first half, then, Carl, you see Martinez making a smart save from Silva. Strong hand, but he tips it back into the box. And Torreira's there to clear up. We got away with that, didn't we?
Yes. I think Martinez done well today. And like I said, they were taking their chances at us, but they weren't clinical. if this had been another team, we would have been literally, we easily could have been 3-0 down or 3-1 down in the game. But this was a team that, like I said, sometimes you can tell when a team is up. They were up for it, but I just didn't feel that they believed in themselves. And it was never a real threat. There was never a time when, like I said, I'm always worried watching Arsenal, always, because you just never know. But at the same time, I was watching this game thinking, we could do them here. Like, we genuinely could. And it came to the point where I got to say thank you to Arsenal, because you won me £200 today. Because at halftime, I put on that we was going to win 3-0. So I am actually happy about that. So because I was confident, and this is never a time I never say I'm confident in watching Arsenal, but I just didn't feel that they were... I felt that they were playing their best football and they couldn't penetrate us. So if you play your best football like that and you can't penetrate us and we weren't playing our best, then, you know, it goes to show the different levels in class.
Yeah, to put into perspective, they had 17 players out in the summer and 12 players in. So that is really, you know... That's a big turnover of players. So it's not the same team that did well in the Europa League last season. They got the semi-final.
We were talking about in the pod. They've lost Jovic, which he was just brilliant last season. So, you know, it's that was a big loss. And Heller, has he gone to West Ham, I want to say?
I don't know, mate.
Sure, he plays at West Ham now. Or is it Villa? One of the two.
Don't care, to be honest. Don't care.
One of the two. But either way, West Ham, plays at West Ham now. So they lost a lot of firepower. So I'm not really, I wasn't really that worried about their firepower.
Yeah. It's, to be fair, it's one of those where, you know, they created chances, but they didn't. I don't know if I was worried or not. You know, you saw them, you thought, oh my God, you know, what's going to happen here? You know, but there wasn't a magnificent save from Martinez, was there? There wasn't one of those where you thought, oh, thank God he's just saved this. He did very, very, very well. But, you know, we go in 1-0. So that was the first half, guys. Right. It's that time. We've won tonight, so we haven't got a massive audience. Typical, isn't it? Really typical. You're like vultures, you lot. You only turn up when we're losing. I've got 151 of you watching right now. I've only got 46 likes. Are we going to be Arsenal who played Watford? Or are we going to be Arsenal who played Frankfurt? The choice is yours. But let's be honest. If you're not going to be the Arsenal that played Watford, and if you're going to be the Arsenal that played Watford, don't expect a call up to the international squad. No, the coach is going to say, I've had enough. Don't be like that. Be like the Arsenal who played Frankfurt. It's a lot easier. It's a lot happier. Make me happy. I've been a moany git this week. I really have. Guess why? Because we were awful on Sunday. I had to do a bloody podcast last night. And was it last night, the night before last, Carl?
Night before last.
Yeah. And who stitched me up, Carl?
Oh, the one you was late to. Yeah. The one that you turned up late to, you did have to do it. But you came in. You've done a good job, Jason. Be proud of what you've done. Even though you turned up late, you still done well. Blame Danny. Fuck Danny.
I had to put up with this for 2 hours the other day. Carl Walker giving me grief. But no, I'm here again. So come on, I got 60 likes now. That's not good enough, is it? That's really not good enough. Let's get going. Tappy, tappy. Let's have a pop here, okay? Make your parents proud. Let's get it up to 90. Because this isn't good enough. This is Watford Arsenal. Be Frankfurt Arsenal. Be better. Right, second half. God, I don't know. I'm going to have to give that up. It's killing me, that nonsense is. Frankfurt come out, God. They've got a bit of edge about them. You see Dost firing, heading wide, early doors. Silva fires over. Then we get a bit of a relief with Aubameyang. Missing just after a brilliant break from Willock. You know, We were getting a little bit of respite every now and again, but Frankfurt were really putting the pressure on us, weren't they?
Yeah, they had a good hard time too, you could tell. And they obviously were told to press us a little bit more, because I noticed that they definitely were doing that, because we kept losing midfield battles. Every time we got the ball midfield, there was a you'd always see that two of them onto one of our players. And there was a period in the game for a good, and I mean a good solid 15 minutes, we just could not get out of our half. It just wouldn't happen no matter what we did. We couldn't get out. And that was, you got to give them credit where credit's due. You know, they put us under immense pressure. They did. And that was probably the only time where I felt that maybe a goal was coming for Frankfurt, because it was no matter what we did. If we played it long, it would come straight back to us. If we played it short, we'd get the ball up to maybe the halfway line, we'd lose it, and it would come straight back to us. So at that time, I felt that our players were definitely getting a little tired. Willock was definitely tired. He had run himself into the ground, I think, at that time. And like we say, you know, he's young and his fitness may not be 100%, but he will definitely get there. You'd think to yourself, like, you being young, you could be able to run forever and ever and ever. But it's about game management. As I said, sometimes you need to take a 5-minute breather and, you know, don't run for every single ball. And sometimes you just need to manage yourself, manage your time. And I think within time, that will come.
Yeah, it's not just about working hard. It's about working smart, you know. And this is something, you know, we're come on now. We're going to talk about the three youngsters especially, because I think, you know, they deserve their little bit of limelight tonight. They really do. But you saw a free kick. We get a free kick. It's far side of the park, our right-hand side. Xhaka lines up. We got a lot of hustle in the box. But he has a go target and hits the bar. My God, what an effort.
Yes, and I'll be honest with you, I don't think he really meant that. Had it gone in, it would have been a very freakish goal. I think he was trying to get the ball into that danger zone, if that makes sense. Like, into really? I don't think he meant that. I think he was trying to put the ball into the danger zone. And do you know why I say he didn't mean it? Because I don't think he's that good. I'm just being honest. I don't think he's good enough. Bro. I don't think he's good enough to try something like that. So that's the reason why.
I'm sorry. He went for that.
I don't know. I just don't think he's that good. Well, if he did, and it needed to come, either way, well done for at least trying it, because the goalkeeper was rooted to the spot. And had that just been literally inches lower, that's a goal. So I think that he done well for putting it the ball where it did go. However, I'll be honest with you, I just don't think he meant it.
Well, Stefan Selby's just put in the box. Xhaka scored that goal against Palace. So, you know, he's tried these before, to be fair to him. We then see Andre Silva shoot over, and he particularly annoyed me tonight, the little shitbag. I got to be honest, he was a divey, moany little bitch, he was.
Their players were, to be honest.
Yeah, they really were, weren't they? Then you see Pepe come on for Emile Smith Rowe. Now, what were your thoughts on Smith Rowe's performance?
It's his first game back, so I'm not going to be too hard on the boy. He, like you said, Jason, he's been out for a while, and he needs to get his fitness back. Yes, he's played a couple of under 21 games, but you can play under 23 games. But then you can come, and it's a different kettle of fish playing in the Europa League. So therefore, it wasn't the best performance. Let's be honest. Like, let's not say, oh, it was brilliant. It wasn't. He had a few shots that I think he had one where he definitely should have finished and he didn't. But he's getting his fitness back and he's getting used to the pace of the game. And this is the games I want him to do it in. I want him to come and do it against teams like Frankfurt. And when we play our next game, I think he'll definitely play against Forest. That's 100%. He'll definitely start against Forest, fitness permitting. I think he's done adequate. I'm not going to say done well, because he didn't. Let's call it a spade a spade. He did not do well. I'd give his performance 6 out of 10.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that. I think the important thing for him is, you know, he treats this game as it is for him, part of the learning curve. You know, he's going to have nights like this. He's an extremely talented young guy. You know, he's highly, highly rated at the club. It's not always going to be plain sailing for these boys. And, you know, it's a game that, you know, his decision-making was a bit off. He's kind of off the pace. But, you know, fantastic. He's made his mistakes tonight. He's got minutes in the bank for when he next for his next opportunity, and he's on that comeback trail. So, you know, yeah, it was a tough night at the office for young Emil, but, you know, good learning curve for him. He'll have learned a bit from tonight, and he'll be able to take that forward. So, you know, okay, you know, it's done. Learn from it, move on from him. Then you get Silva on Pepe. Hand to the face. I don't think he meant to do it, but it kind of summed him up a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I don't think he really meant it, but he's just he's one of the players that you love to hate. You can tell in the German league. He's kind of like, do you know what he's like? He's like Dele Alli. He's one or Danny Rose. He's one of them people that you fucking hate. Like, just to look at their face, you just want to punch. And so he's that sort of player. Definitely.
He is, isn't he? He is. You see him fighting wide, then you see a Martinez save. You see Martinez distribute to Chambers very quickly. Fantastic run from Chambers down the right-hand side. He fires across a great pass across the park. And I think, I'm not sure if it's Saka or Willock who couldn't control it. Really unlucky, but it was a hell of a ball to control, you know. You'd have been hard-pressed to control that and get a shot on target, you know. It's one of those things, you know, where it was a great effort, but not to be. Then Willock is replaced by Ceballos. Your thoughts on Willock's game?
I thought Willock had a good game. He was tired when he came off, you could tell. So that, for me, is a sign that he had a good game. He was running all over the place. He was, I would give his performance probably a 7.5, 8 out of 10. 8 out of 10 because he scored a goal. So for me, again, this is all about players getting minutes. You know, he played for the first two and he was left out for a few games, and then he came in against Watford, and you know, it wasn't the best game against Watford by any stretch of the imagination. However, today it's minutes in the bank, definitely, and it's things that, you know, when he go back to London Colney tomorrow, he can improve on certain things, because hopefully Emery will say, you know, these are things you've done well, very good, these are things you didn't do so well, these are what we're going to improve on. So we'll see. Like I said, he's minutes in the bank, and I think that he's got a good chance of maybe playing against Villa. He definitely play against Villa, and definitely he will start against Forest in a week.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, for me, on the ball, I thought 8 out of 10. I thought he was, when you see him driving a ball at his feet, yes, he's going to make his mistakes, fine. At least he's trying. But there were some moments where he just looked magic going forward. It was a joy to watch him. It really was. You look at him and you just think, whoa, you know, he looks absolute mustard going forward. Off the ball, he's still learning. I thought that was a kind of 6-ish out of 10, maybe a 5. But again, part of the learning curve for him, because, you know, he just keeps on going. He keeps. There's something I'm going to say with Saka later, but Willock is very much similar. He never let his head drop tonight. You know, when he did make his mistakes, he kept his head high and he kept on going. And that was great to see from him, because, you know, they should be exuberant at this age. They should be kids who just want to play football and, you know, enjoy themselves. That's what it's all about. But it's hard when, you know, you're on that learning curve and you're making your mistakes, and, you know, you're not walking into an Invincibles team here. You know what I mean? This is a team with problems. This is a team with real issues where things, when they go wrong, they can go badly wrong. So, you know, all credit to these guys. So Ceballos comes on, then you see Saka. He makes a poor effort from turnover ball. Ball be turned over high up the pitch. You know, you saw the good, the bad from him tonight. But again, another one who kept on going. Then you get the second yellow for Core. Foul on Saka, okay? Now, I thought he was trying to be clever and take him out. You could see him push his knee forward. Commentator, I think it's Jonathan Pierce, kind of claimed that he felt that it was a soft yellow, that Core slipped a little bit. What were your thoughts?
He tried to take him out, silly bastard. Like, he blatantly tried to take him out. And he deserved the second yellow. And like I said, I always judge it as, had that been given against us, like, had that been someone who I really hate, Mustafi, would I be pissed off at him? Yes, I would. Like, but I'd hold my hands up and I'd say, you know what, you deserve that. And so did that player. Like, he definitely knew what he was doing. We was building up an attack. He tried to take him out, tried to be smart about it, but he wasn't smart enough. So therefore, you deserve your card.
I absolutely agreed. I thought that the Frankfurt reaction to that summed up their whole game. Always, you know, the game was bitty in the way it was refereed, but that was just a reflection on the way it was played. That, you know, there were plenty of cynical little fouls all over the place. I think the referee had a bit of a tough job on his hands at times, and it wasn't nasty. It wasn't, you know. It wasn't a vicious game in any way, shape, or form, but it was just very niggly. And the referee, it's tough to officiate those games. I'm not going to knock the referee. I'm not going to overpraise him. I just thought the guy did his best. We then see Kolasinac replaced by Maitland-Niles. And then Kamada gets booked. And Frankfurt continue the pissing and moaning. And it's just becoming a bit embarrassing, wasn't it?
Yeah, but you can just tell that they, at the time, they were a team that had run out of ideas. Like I said, when you play to your best and it's just not good enough, then, you know, it's a bit like John Walsh trying to satisfy girls. You know, he can pump away. But when you're not, just not good enough, then shit happens now. But sometimes...
Sorry. John, you deserve that for leaving us alone tonight. You deserve that.
But, do you know what I mean? That's what it is. Like, imagine, like, you're a boxer and you put in, like, your best performance and you're trying to punch this guy in the face and this guy's just walking towards you. That's exactly what it's like. So I think they then had to resort to try and cheat. And obviously they tried to and it didn't work.
Yeah. You then see a free kick cross to Chambers, back across goal. Oh, I can't remember who took it then, sorry, but... Aubameyang misses the free kick across to Chambers. Chambers crosses and Aubameyang misses an absolute sitter. And you just thought, on his form recently, whoa, that's a bit strange, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we'll finish the game off, then we'll talk about Aubameyang, but I don't think I don't think he should have been on the pitch as long as he was today. But today, he just seems like he wasn't on his game. He wasn't taking his chances, and no, he didn't. He did that chance 9 out of 10 times. He's burying it. He's absolutely burying it. But today just wasn't his game.
Yeah. We then see a piece of play, Carl. Martinez playing at the back to Xhaka. Xhaka drives forward. You know, I think he went forward about 30, 35, 40 yards. Ball across to Pepe. Pepe takes it on a little further, a good bit of movement from him, passes the ball to Saka, who's outside the box, and bang, Saka cracker. Oof! What a way to score. What a way to score.
How long have we went to say that, Jason? Saka cracker.
I wrote it down, I thought, I like that.
Do you know what? All praise to the guy. He was brave enough to take on the shot. You know, like I said, a young 18-year-old may have looked to pass it again, but no, he was brave enough to take it on, shifted it onto his left foot, right in the corner. You couldn't ask for more. Like, it was the perfect shot. It was just literally just outside the goalkeeper's reach, right into the corner. Brilliant. And that will do wonders for the guy. Like, I genuinely know it will do, because when you... when a teenager, you know, he's got his first goal for Arsenal, he won't sleep tonight. Like,
no,
definitely not. He'll just be buzzing tonight. And as an 18-year-old, you've gone away with your the team that you play for, that you've been playing for your whole life, and you've scored an absolute banger first goal from outside the box. Congratulations to the guy. And I am so happy for him. Like, not just because I was an Arsenal fan, I'm happy for him as a human being, because what I loved as well is how the players celebrated with him. They all went over to him. They were all like Xhaka as well, as the captain. And, you know, special shout out to Xhaka today, because, you know, he was the one who was hugging him, and you could tell he was talking to him as the goal was there. They went over to their fans and he was pointing to him and pointing to the fans, you know, to say, come on, like, this guy got his first goal. So, you know, today saw the good of Arsenal, you know, the good team spirit. That's what we want to see.
Yeah, I got to be honest, I agree with your sentiment there. I was thrilled for the kid. Like I said earlier on, there was the camera panned across from him, and he just looked like a kid who's been picked out of the crowd. There's the boots and kits, and get on with it. He's so young, you know, he's got a baby face as well. And, you know, he'd made his mistakes during that game. He'd made his mistakes, and then he comes back and he delivers that. And I just thought, oh, that is fabulous. You know, it's just magnificent to see. And like you say, you know, he's going to be like a 12-year-old who's kissed his first girl, tonight. You know what I mean? He's going to be over the moon. He's going to be so excited. And he, you know, kudos to the boy, because he deserves that. He never let his head drop. He kept on going. Moving on to the next one, because, you know, all of a sudden we were all action, you know. And the nice bit about this, Saka turns the ball over high up the park. He wins the ball well. And whereas he'd stuffed up earlier on in the game on something very similar, good pass to Aubameyang, and Aubameyang dead-eyed, mate. Oof, you know, we were on fire at this point, weren't we?
Yes, Aubameyang could have passed it to Pepe for Pepe to get his first goal, or he could have passed it to Torreira, because Torreira was right up there as well with him. But do you know what? A striker being a striker, and he put it back in the net. And he was clinical. Had he missed that, then I would have been like, what the hell was going on? But do you know what? That goal won me my £200. It was just absolutely... It was a culmination. Finally, everything had come together. I mean... There was obviously, with a man down, there was lots of space in behind, and they were obviously trying to press as well to get a goal. And when you hit a team on a counter attack, it's just something that we want. But what I'm really happy about is how Saka won the ball back. I think that was brilliant. It reminded me of Celebus against Burnley when the Birmingham got his second goal. It was just. You know, at that point, you're giving Saka an easy 9 out of 10. You know, we could talk about all the bad. He wasn't brilliant in the first half, and face it, he wasn't. But in the second half, I think he was magnificent. I really do. I couldn't praise him high enough. So definitely he gets like a 9 out of 10 for today, his performance. And hopefully he will go on to, like I said, he will definitely play against Villa. He'll definitely play against Forest. And, you know, it's a combination of we won 3-0. If you can go away to any ground in the world, I don't care who it is, if you can go away and win 3-0, it's a very good victory.
Jeez. I absolutely agree, pal, because, you know, look, last season we saw quite a strong team lose to Rennes. We lost to some bloody awful teams last season. And whilst I don't think Frankfurt are all they're cracked up to be, that's a tough place to go. We've gone out there, we've done a job. And, you know, we were all slating Unai on the podcast this week for frankly, one of the worst performances I've seen from the Arsenal in a long time. And there are plenty to choose from last Sunday. Tonight, it's a better performance. You saw people stand up, hold their hands up, and, you know, they were counted, you know. The Boo Boys, Xhaka. I thought Xhaka was magnificent tonight. I really did. Yes, there were some mistakes in there, but he played bloody well. Mustafi played well. Luis, well. Yes, they had chances, but that's because the way we set up, we're not there yet. We're not ready to be a tight, tight team, okay? So, you know, we've got a lot to learn, but we're getting there, you know? So, you know, onwards and upwards. That's
give credit where credit was due, I think. You know, we're gonna talk about the bad performances. You talk about the good performances as well, because we are a balanced podcast here. And today, I think that we did do well. And this is something I never thought I'd ever say, but Mustafi did well. And maybe this is what he needed. Maybe he needed time out of the team to come back and then, you know, think about his performances. I think, by no means least, I'm not going to say that he had the best game in the world, but I think he done well. I think, and Xhaka as well. Xhaka seemed to be a game made for Granit Xhaka, because he came into the team and he easily could have not played today. I mean, I just think at the moment, Unai Emery thinks he's undroppable. He's gonna have to sit out a game at some point. Without that, yeah, he can't play every single game. He's not built like that. But today, that especially for the setup for the second goal,
yeah,
brilliant. Now, you know, he drove, like, and that was towards the end of the game as well. And he, you know, if that was against Watford, he wasn't doing that because he was tired against Watford. But today, he found the energy to run. You, like you said, 40 yards up the pitch and pass it. So well done to these guys today. They've obviously gone back to the training ground and thought about what they've done and come back and performed well.
Yeah, and credit to Unai Emery as well, to be fair to him. You know, we're quick enough to have a pop, but credit to him tonight. That's a bloody good reaction to a very poor performance on Sunday. Right, I'm going to do a couple of quick shout-outs here. The first one, and the most important one, is to Cyrus Ali 29, and he says, I'm stuck on Interstate 20 in Houston with thousands of other drivers due to flooding from Tropical Storm Imelda. Thanks for giving me something to do while I'm waiting for the water to subside. Come on, you gooners. Cyrus Ali, we wish you and the thousands of other people who are affected by this flooding the very best. Stay safe, bro. Take your time. Don't do anything silly. Let the water subside, then go back home or whatever. But our thoughts are with you all, because stuff like that is dangerous and it's bloody annoying. So, you know, we wish you the very best from everyone. And the chat box is giving you some love as well. So that's nice to see. Matthew Hudson. I don't know. He's been a little bit prickly, Matthew Hudson, as tonight. It's really interesting tonight, Matthew Hudson's been. I'll tell you what, so he gets a shout-out. Frank Gunner's there. 95 Winston's there. Marco Bricks UK is there. Benares Hussein's there. Alonso Spencer's there. Loki 73. John Bernstein. Thunder Road. Oh, the same old favourites. Right, people, how many likes have I got? 75. That's not 90. What do you think you're fucking doing? Tappy tappy, let's get going. Don't make me write to your parents. I will write to them individually and call you out. Formerly Noza says, leave the silliness to Jace. That's correct.
Jason will promise to your mummy. You don't want him to do that.
Don't stop going on that road. It's not going on that road. Somebody put it in the box a little on. We should do a double act podcast talking about politics, Brexit, and stuff like that. We need to do an ABW After Dark soon.
We have to. It's got to come soon.
It's got to come. It's got to come. Right.
Next international break. We do it.
Yeah. Let's talk about Saka first. An up and down game at times. Let's not ignore the mistakes. Let's not ignore, you know, some poor decision-making. but let's really wallow in his attitude, not to let these mistakes bother him. I'm enthused by the fact that, you know, when he did make a mistake, he didn't let his head drop. He got back up and he had a go, didn't he? He just, that was really brilliant to see from him.
Yeah. You know, there are some players in the squad, and I'll name a spade, Ozil. He's a confidence player. If things aren't going too well, definitely Ozil's head drops. He is someone who, Ozil definitely has, I would say, confidence issues. And maybe, I don't like saying this, but maybe he's got a few mental health issues, because no player should be how, not saying no player should be like Mesut Ozil was, but he obviously needs a hug. Mesut Ozil is as a person that definitely you need to put your arm around him. How he would have survived in maybe a Tony Adams era, probably not, but that's by the by. This Saka today, for me, like you said, things weren't going too well for him, but he persevered. You know, he made mistakes, like but everyone did. There's no player on that football pitch today that didn't have a misplaced pass, who didn't do something that they shouldn't have done. So I'm not going to blame him. He wasn't alone. However, what I think today which shows is that is a young player who's come in and just said, I'm going to take my chance. I'm going to take my chances. And that's what he did. He had an assist and he had a goal as an 18-year-old. What more could you possibly want from a player? If you ask I would love Granit Xhaka to have assists and a goal every game. He hasn't done it for a while. But, you know, this 18-year-old is coming to the squad and he's thinking to himself, you know, maybe I have to play a little bit harder because I've got to impress. And he probably knows that he's not going to get many opportunities in the Premier League. He knows this. But the cup games, he can wallow in. He can absolutely just splash about in, like, if he's a paddling pool. He's going to play against Forest. He's going to take more Europa League cup games. And if he plays like he played today, I will take a performance like that every game he plays.
Absolutely, absolutely. I was so impressed with him. You know, there was that point in the first half, I was looking at the three youngsters and I was thinking, oh, you look at your depth tonight, lads. You know, and I wasn't impressed with them. And you know, just watch the game back. You know, you're right not to be impressed them at times. But the way, you know, they kept on trying, the way they weren't scared, they didn't hide. They didn't hide. They kept showing for the ball. They kept having a go. And all credit to them. I've got, you know, I'm really excited by these lads. We can't overhype them. Okay? You know, let's leave them develop naturally. No, he's going to be the next so-and-so, the next, you know, Vieira. All that nonsense, leave it at the door. Okay? Leave them develop naturally. Leave them enjoy their football. And leave them learn as they go along. And let's not hammer them. You know, we've seen Iwobi, Maitland-Niles, Ramsey. We've seen so many players absolutely hammered when, you know, they've had a tough time. And you can criticise and that's fine. But they get absolutely hammered. And, you know, let's give these guys a chance. Leave them breathe. Leave them enjoy their football. Marco Bricks UK says, what's the news on Holding's return? I don't know anything, but I would have thought they are just being very cautious with it. I think, you know, there's been a lot of excitement about him coming back and, you know, they'll be monitoring him, the medical side of everything very carefully. And if he's not right to play, they're not going to play him. And, you know, Unai will also make a judgment on, you know, where he is, who the opposition is, what he envisages the game being like, etc. So all these things come into play. Anything else to add about the game, mate?
No, it was... Listen, it's a 3-0 win. I'm never going to sniff my nose, turn my nose up at that. I think it was a brilliant away performance. Anytime you go away and win 3-0 against who, I couldn't care less if it's against Nottingham Forest or against bloody Frankfurt or Juventus. Like, if you can go away from your home ground and win 3-0, you've got to have done something right, and we did. And you know, it sets it puts us in a good position to qualify out of this group. I think we will qualify out of this group, and I think we'll do it with consummate ease. But this was our hardest away game on paper, you know, and we've won 3-0. So hopefully they will take that, and it'll be a confidence booster.
Absolutely, absolutely right. Let's go to questions then, pal. First question to you. Junior Gunner asks, Torreira has been awful since Christmas. Teams seem to target him because of his small frame. Do you find this concerning?
I wouldn't say he's been awful since Christmas. I think, no, definitely not. So I don't agree with that, I'm afraid. He's been in and out of with injuries as well, and he's only just come back in today. And I think he had quite a good game today. I don't think he was terrible. He was up and down the pitch, and we didn't concede. And his main job was probably to protect the back four. And yeah, they had a lot of shots, but we didn't concede a goal. So yeah, I don't agree that he had an awful game. It's been awful since Christmas.
I see what he's saying there. I do see what he's saying there. I think Junior's got a bit of a point. I think part of the reason is, you know, he's not played in that favoured position that suits him. I think towards the end of last season, his legs went a bit. It's, you know, Serie A and the Premier League are very, very different.
When you don't get that Christmas break as well, a lot of teams who come from foreign leagues who don't get Christmas break over here, they always tend to suffer, especially around the March, April time, because they don't have that opportunity to totally rest. So yeah. a lot of players do it, and it will probably happen to Pepe. Do you know what I mean? Like, and look how Pepe is an energetic player. He gives a lot of energy, and I think around Christmas, just after Christmas time, I think February, March, he will do exactly the same. He will tire because he's not used to constantly play, especially with the English Christmas fixtures, where you're playing literally every 3 days. He's not going to be used to that.
Yeah, there's a lot of people on the learning curve at the moment, aren't there? You know, and I think Torreira, you know, I think once Unai settles on that, you know, on a sort of, not on a basic lineup, so to speak, but on a backbone, hopefully we'll see better from him. But yeah, it was an improved performance around tonight, so that was good to see. I'll answer this one. John Bernstein asks, our wingers seem to give the ball away a lot when our full backs are overlapping. Is this just bad luck or are they unaware? Should we be worried? Carl, I don't know if you agree. I just think this is a team bedding in now. Pepe's a new player. You know, whether you've got Nelson on the left or you've got Saka on the left, you know, these are new combinations. And when Hector and Tierney come back, you know, you're going to have new combinations again. You combine that with most teams lose a lot of ball when they're attacking. You know, I think this is just a natural progression. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, we don't really have a style, if that makes sense. Like, we're not a team that is a high-pressing or attacking team, or we do well in possession. So I think, remember, there's a lot of players as well that are getting used to each other. So once we get used to each other, once they know what each other's strengths and weaknesses is, we'll improve. I have no doubt about that.
Agreed. This one's for you, and it's a bit cheeky, from Pete Colson. And he asks, question to Carl, would you rather have taken a 3-0 defeat tonight to see Emery sacked, or taken the 3-0 win and watch us limp on under Emery's dismal leadership for the rest of the season?
I never want Arsenal to lose, ever. Ever, 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 ever. So I would never, ever in my life want Arsenal to take a 3-0 loss. So always, I would rather have the 3-0 win and watch us limp on.
Agreed. Whatever's going to be is going to be. Don't do deals with the devil. I think that's the moral of the story. John Bernstein asks, do we need to recall Nketiah in January? Aubameyang playing all the games is not sustainable. I think this is a really good point. And there were a couple of people who raised this earlier on. Apologies, I've lost the name, so I'm very sorry about that. He didn't have much of an option, but not to play him tonight, did he? He, you know, we haven't got a recognised sort of second striker. Pepe's looked lost when he's played up front, and, you know, we've known he's struggled with that in the past. Aubameyang is now the only option. I don't think we can recall Nketiah. I mean, I'm not 100% sure on that. Either way, it would cost us money. There's a long, hard slog in line for Aubameyang at the moment, isn't there?
Yes, this is why. Can we talk about Aubameyang now? I guess I don't understand the reasoning why Aubameyang played for 90 minutes today. I truly don't. It was foolish of Unai Emery, very, very foolish. He is our only recognised striker. I think Martinelli definitely should have played today because Martinelli's had, I think the only time he's played is against Newcastle, I want to say.
I'm not otherwise, sure against Barnsley, Burnley, sorry.
And apart from that, he hasn't had a kick. So for me, he definitely should have come on today. He definitely should have taken off Aubameyang because if Aubameyang gets injured, we only have Martinelli. And you literally now have to protect Aubameyang completely until after the international break because let's face it, like I said, it's not coming back before then. So for me, it doesn't make sense. Martinelli is going to have to play against Nottingham Forest. So for me, you're going to give him some minutes. Today was the game to play him in, 100%. To let him know, you know, just kind of how he plays. So, and this is the thing that frustrates me about Emre. How could he not recognise that? How did Aubameyang got injured? I know you could say shoulda, coulda, wouldas, and if, buts, and maybes, but had he got injured today, his head would have been on the chopping board and there's no way I could have defended him. How Aubameyang played 90 minutes. Remember, Aubameyang has played 90 minutes in every single game we've played so far this season. And today, for me, absolute foolishness playing him for 90 minutes today. Absolute foolishness.
I've got to agree with that. I think, you know, you've got to be managing this guy. And you look at his work rate, he's constantly working hard. He looked shattered at the end of the game. If he's got Lacazette and Aubameyang out for any, you know, period of time longer than 3 to 4 weeks,
we're finished.
That could lose him his job.
I think so as well. And I think it's poor game management today. I think Martinelli definitely should have come on at some point today because you think to yourself, Aubameyang is going to start against Aston Villa.
Yeah.
That's a given. We know he's going to do that. And more than likely, he's going to play 90 minutes against Aston Villa. So therefore, that will make 6 games where he's played 90 minutes plus. And okay, there's no way he shouldn't be even in the squad against Nottingham Forest, to be honest. But for me, I just think that Unai Emery needs to be a little bit smarter. Yes, I 100% agree that Frankfurt away was our hardest game. But I think after the 60th minute mark, you should have been like, okay, Martinelli, you go on. Let's see what you can do and take him off. But for me, absolute foolishness. And these are things that really annoy me about Unai Emery.
Yeah, it's a bugbear and, you know, it's a real point. But, you know, well, he's gotten through it, hopefully, tonight. So let's look forward to that to Sunday now. Bernardes, I'm going to miss that one because I'm going to ask another one later from you. John Bernstein asks, what do you think of the Unai out talk over the past week?
He's just a new boo boy for Arsenal, isn't it? We always need one at Arsenal, to be honest. And because Mustafi's not playing, we've moved on to Xhaka. And now the manager's getting on it. Unai Emery is not going to leave his job now. It's not. Why would he? At the moment, he's got no reason to. We are on the same... Yes, we may be 8th in the league, but we're on the same amount of points as Manchester City. We've lost one game this season against Liverpool. So why would you kick the manager out? Yes, you can talk about the end of last season and the results, you know, the Palace, the Everton, the Wolves, the Leicester game, the final. Yeah, it wasn't well, but there are a lot of other teams who are worse than us who are keeping their managers in. If we have a bad run of results, then yeah, you can start that talk. But that talk now, it's 6 games in to the season, nah, come on now, let's be serious.
Yeah, I think, you know, everybody's got the right to criticise. They've got the right to criticise. I've got no problem with that. But, you know, sort of Unai out campaigns and stuff like that, I haven't got much time for any of that stuff, you know. I mean, I don't mind telling you how I feel about it, but I'm sure as hell not inciting anybody else to you know, that's my opinion. You know,
yeah.
It's not that I'm sure you're not trying to convince anybody else of that. It's just that this is the reason I think this, because of these facts. After that, you know, it doesn't matter if we all disagree on it and we all have a different point of view. That's fine. But let's, you know, you've got to give him a chance as well, haven't you? You just got to give him a chance.
Of course, you have to. And just think about it. You're on the same amount of points as last year's winners of the Premier League. Yes, we may be eighth, but that's just kind of goal difference, isn't it? We just won away at Frankfurt to a team that Chelsea drew against last season. Yes, they may not be the same team, but Chelsea managed to scrape a draw against them last season. This is a team that was in the semi-final of the Europa League. Sometimes you need to... We're very reactionary Arsenal fans, aren't we? You know, the fact that...
Yeah.
We had a shit game against Watford. Listen, no one's saying that we didn't. We had an absolute shocker against Watford. But putting to perspective, the champions of England lost against a team that just come up from the Championship. Are Man City fans asking for Pep Guardiola's head? They're not. So let's kind of put it into perspective, just a little tiny little bit.
Look, I got no problems. I'm not happy with him, but.
No, you know, I'm not either, but...
You've got to give him the chance. Got to give him the chance.
And he's just got his new players, and let's give him time to work on these new players. Christmas time, if we're still eighth and, you know, we're languishing down the table, we're out of the League Cup, and we get knocked out the third round of the FA Cup, then, yeah, you can ask a question then, 100%.
Michael Harnum asks, do we play Mustafi and Luis against Villa on the performance of tonight? I'd say yes. That's what Michael Hanneman says.
No, Michael Hanneman, no. I'm sorry, I haven't got an agenda against Mustafi.
You obviously have.
No, I clearly don't, but no.
The question says, let me repeat the question. Do we play Mustafi and Luis against Villa on tonight's performance?
Okay, so I will ask the question. Do you play Saka against Villa on tonight's performance?
No, but you're talking two very different situations. I got to be honest with you, I wouldn't be against it, okay? I'm not sure. I'd give it a go because I think Socrates has been awful this season.
So is David Luiz?
Yeah, fair point.
Giving away two penalties. So I personally would play... Socrates is going to start. If Socrates didn't start tonight, he's going to start. I personally... Villa, who's their strikers? Let me just, because I can't remember who their strikers are.
What's the lad's name? Oh, I can't remember. Never mind. And look, I'd give him a go, but you know, if Unai doesn't, I'm not going to slag him off for it. To be fair, but I think it's a fair question. Let's move on. Benjamin Ashton says, "Here we go." Okay, this is a question for you. Benjamin Ashton says, I'd play Saka over Nelson based on what I've seen in pre-season and this season so far. Do you guys agree?
No. Because you haven't seen enough of Nelson. That's a very reactionary statement, because had Nelson done what Saka had done today, then we'll be screaming about Nelson. I think Nelson was probably going to start against Villa, because if he didn't even get a sniff today, then I think he probably gets a start against Villa. But I don't think that you can say that he's literally Saka's first game. And you're talking about pre-season, where, you know, in pre-season, didn't we beat Real Madrid? In real season, we're not going to beat Real Madrid, are we? So let's put things into perspective and be a bit easy. Let's not, again, this is what we do at Arsenal. We see one performance and we just hype. Oh, this player's the best since sliced bread. They're brilliant. Let's just take our time with him. We need to just be easy with him. He's a young player. Yes, he's had a good performance today. However, he's not the finished article, and he needs games before he can be taking the mantle of other players.
Yeah, I mean, I see the point on what Ben's saying. I think, you know, I mean, I think Saka showed a hell of a lot more tonight than we've seen from Nelson so far this season. But I think there are problems within the team as well. I think, you know, those extra minutes that Nelson got on loan last season, all these things contribute. And you're looking at two young developing players. You know, they're both going to get their chances as the season goes along. Neither of them are going to be the finished article for a number of seasons. How it will develop, I'm not sure. If you're talking about it's a choice of one of those two for the Villa game, I'd start Nelson simply because a little bit more of experience. He's going to be chomping at the bit to put right his mistakes that he's made this season as well. Mm. You know, we've got to be looking to develop a pair of them. I think you need to look at this squad holistically, and especially these young players. They've got a long way to go before they're the finished article.
100%.
Quick look, yeah. I got 87 likes. Come on. Come on. Three more, please. Three more. For crying out loud, I set you a target of 90, okay? And you're falling short. You're Watford Arsenal. Not Frankfurt Arsenal. You're Watford Arsenal. It's bloody shameful, honestly. You put up with this crap, you know what I mean? It's not good, Carl. It's not good, is it? Sai and Vesh asks, what are the most notable differences in today's match as opposed to the Watford match in midfield? What do you think?
We weren't shit. I don't know what to say. We wasn't shit. Do you know what the most notable difference was? Genuinely, we didn't play out from the back. So our midfield wasn't so low down the pitch. I think the fact that Martinez kicked the ball out gave us a chance to be high up the pitch and put their defenders under a bit of pressure. Definitely, that's the main difference. And plus, we had Torreira, who literally is tasked to sweep up. That's what he's there for. He's there to literally protect the back four. So that, for me, was probably the main differences.
Yeah, I think, you know, you saw Mustafi, you saw Xhaka, both pointed up to Martinez at sometimes, go longer, free man over on the right-hand side. You know, you saw them helping Martinez. We weren't under pressure so deep in our own territory, and I think that was the big turnover. Combined with that, Frankfurt couldn't finish their dinner. You know, yeah. Their finishing was awful. I mean, we still allowed shots, we still allowed runners through, but you know, it's a clean sheet tonight. But we didn't put ourselves under as much pressure as we did on Sunday, and that's the big thing, you know. Paul Nell asks, only caught about 20 minutes of the game on the radio, he says. How was the midfield protection for the back four? Do you think it improved tonight? Because I'm not sure it did, but like we said, following on from Sai's question, because we're not putting ourselves under pressure so deep in our own territory, it's easier to deal with. There's no panic stations, are there?
Yeah, and that's what I think is, if we can get the ball high up the pitch, you know, it's common sense. Get the ball high up the pitch and you don't threaten your back line so quickly. And I do think that added, I'm not praising Torreira, but I think with him in the squad, it gives us the option to, you know, tell him, protect that back line. I'm not going to compare him to Makalele or anything like that. It'd be foolish, but that's what he kind of does, or even Kante. But, you know, he's there. He's a ball winner, and that's what he's put on the pitch to do. Whereas on Sunday, we didn't have that. We didn't have Guendouzi is not a ball winner. Xhaka is not a ball winner. Celebus is not a ball winner. But we have that in Torreira.
Yeah. I think, you know, he's really got to gel this midfield very quickly. He's got to find solutions to the problems we're facing. Tonight's a start. Tonight's a start on that road for him. And, you know, if he doesn't find the solutions to the issues that we faced, he's going to lose his job. And he'll have nobody to blame but himself. So, you know, that's the way it is. Right, final question for the night. And I find this a strange one. And me and this guy agree quite a bit, to be fair. So this is a strange one. I'm going to kick off with it, Carl, and I want you to join in on this. Bernard is saying, asks, he says, Jason and Carl, I have huge worries and concerns over Leno. He was at fault against the Spuds and Watford. Do you think we have to start Martinez as Leno can't even kick a ball out? Benares, I think you've been very, very harsh. I've got to be honest with you. I don't think he's been at fault for any of our goals so far this season, as far as I can remember. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think he's at fault. I think, you know, our problems stem from defending as a team. You know, we're not applying to the pressure to the ball player at any point on the pitch this season. We've not done it. You know, there was one point I can remember leading up to the goal against Liverpool with the Torreira's goal, which is a consolation goal, and they'd kind of given up. But if we're not applying pressure to the ball player, we've got runners flooding through our midfield. We've got runners flooding through on our back four. I mean, we talk about the penalties that Luis has given away. Those are last stand reactions, which are natural. You're not going to stop that the way we've been playing. When you look, there were 31 shots against Watford. I think Leno made 8 saves. I'm not sure if I'm correct there. I think Leno's a very good player. I think there's a confused system at the moment, and that's not helping any of our players. And I think that's the bigger issue. I thought Martinez looked good tonight. I'm not going to knock him. I don't think he had any standout saves to make. I think, you know, when we get our rhythm going, our patterns of play going, a good shape, then you'll start to see Leno flourishing a bit more, and playing out from the back will be more effective, etc. But I got to be honest, I think you're being harsh on Leno, mate. I really do. Carl, your opinion?
No, I've got confidence in Leno. I have a lot of confidence in him. He's probably the best goalkeeper we've had in a long, long while. Probably we never really saw the best of Szczesny, did we? Szczesny's doing absolutely wonderful for Juventus at the moment. I mean, but when you play in that team, then you can't help but he is something that we've needed in a long while. I mean, people seem to forget we used to have Almunia in goal. Now, I had a hate relationship with Almunia. I think he's one of the worst goalkeepers we've ever had, ever. So I think I have no problems with Leno whatsoever. I genuinely don't. I think he probably needs to get his decision-making a bit more up there, and that's only because of the playing out from the back stupidness, but that's Unai Emery's fault. Unai Emery gave him that instruction to play out from the back, not to kick it up the pitch. So, I don't have any qualms about Leno whatsoever.
Okay, cool. Right, that's it for tonight. Couple of quick shout-outs. First of all, the magnificent Michael Hahnemann. Thank you for your donation, pal. Really appreciate it. If anybody else has donated and I've missed it, I do apologise. I've been looking at our software rather than YouTube, so I do apologise. I don't think anybody has, but, you know, apologies if I missed it. I want to do a quick shout-out for Tez from the Clock End podcast. He was taken ill over the weekend. It's quite serious. From all here in ABW, our thoughts are with you. We hope you get better soon. It's not nice to hear of anybody getting ill, but fellow Gooners, we don't want that whatsoever. So thoughts are with you, pal. Hope you do. You get better soon. Really, really, you know, we wish you the very, very best from everyone at ABW. That's it for tonight. To everybody in the chat box, thank you ever so much for your support. Absolutely fantastic. To those of you listening on any other platforms, you know, where would we be without you? You know, we'd be absolutely nowhere. If you ever want to go, come and join the chat has been superb tonight. The chat box has been absolutely brilliant. Really, really enjoyed it. There's been some really interesting points. There's been some good banter in there. Just subscribe to our YouTube channel. Click on the bell icon and you will be notified of whenever we're going live. Danny has just notified us that the magnificent Richard Morris has donated us via PayPal. Thank you, Rich. You're a top, top, top man. And we bloody appreciate it. But we appreciate you all, because without you, we're just a bunch of idiots talking nonsense to ourselves.
No, Ellis ain't here, so we're not a bunch of idiots.
Ah, fuck Ellis.
Damn right.
The magnificent Dave Faber is in the box. And Dave's been suffering recently as well. So, Dave, my thoughts are with you, pal.
I hope I see Dave on Sunday, because I love seeing Dave. I remember the first time I met him, I was in awe of him. Like, literally, the first time I met him, and I've met him twice now. And hopefully, I'll get to see him at the Villa on Sunday, as well as Danny. I've promised I'm going to wheel Danny into the middle of Holloway Road and just leave him there.
Just what you want to do with Danny, okay? Take him into the middle of Holloway Road, take his wheels off.
Yeah, just leave him there.
And then chuck a free hug sign on him. So every minute you touch him, you'll go bananas. It'd be brilliant.
Just Stefan, no. We'd never want Ellis on the show. It's a needs must. Like, no one ever says, oh, Ellis, can you please come on? It's like, all right, we'll get Ellis. Ellis uses the word hollybobs. Any grown man that uses the word hollybobs deserves, he deserves something bad.
Ellis and the pirate. It was Hollybobs. And now Danny does as well. Loki 73, he's going to donate via PayPal, mate. You're a star. We really appreciate the support. Guys, you know, it's lovely to be back to winning ways. It's even better to be podcasting and to interacting with you guys. Thank you ever so much. Once again, thoughts are with Tez. It's a crap situation to be in. And, you know, everybody's pulling for you to get better soon, fella. So good luck. On that note, Carl, thank you, mate. It's been a lot of fun.
Jason, I've seen you more times this week than I've seen anybody, to be honest. So, yes, you was on time today. Danny didn't have to rip and mind you, so I'm happy.
Lucky, lucky you. Matthew Hudson says, thanks for streaming, gents. Thanks for the stream, gents. Come on, you gooners. Matthew, it is our pleasure. Thank you for the support, pal. As all Stephanie says, is John Welsh, you let us down badly, but we love you anyway. Let's keep it Arsenal, boys. On to the Villa game this week. It'll be myself and John. Just myself and John. Another two-man show. So hopefully we'll be celebrating another victory. Keep it Arsenal, and let's switch this shit off.
If you're going to tease up, we've asked John, protect yourself. That's all I'm going to say.
As soon as I scored that goal, I was fucking livid. Splendid business.